You know, you read the Bible, they talk about the Nephilim, some kind of creatures came down to this planet. What is your interpretation of that?
Well, the ancients believed that the universe was very populated by multiple beings, and they even had a different book of Genesis than we might imagine today. One of the things I've done as a scholar is to go back and take some of these ancient texts and plug them in to Genesis where they might have gone, so you can get a sense of what the earliest Genesis would have been like. It seems that a lot of this stuff was just stricken out of the book of Genesis. Since you mentioned the Nephilim, we've got just one little verse that talks about the sons of God who came down and cohabited with the earth women, and this race of Nephilim was born. And then it goes on and talks about something else, and you're left scratching your head wondering, who are these people? Nephilim, by the way, means fallen ones in the Hebrew. So who are they? The idea is that they were giants, but where does it actually say that? There's one other random verse later in the Torah that talks about giants in those days who were the descendants of the Nephilim, and that's it. But we've got text upon text of these lost books that I keep talking about that fill in those details. We had a different-looking book of Genesis, as it were, that doesn't just leave it with the sons of God cohabiting with the earth women. It says that their offspring, while they looked normal, grew up to be of enormous stature and began devouring human flesh, and would in fact have extincted the entire human family had not the flood been sent to destroy them. And that, in fact, is why the flood was sent. We're told that the biblical patriarch Lamech, who was, in fact, the father of Noah, was afraid that Noah himself might be one of these giants, the offspring of the Nephilim. And there's Dead Sea Scrolls, in fact, that talk about the birth of Noah, and he had some strange birthmark on him, and they were afraid that this child might be not one of us. And so Lamech goes up, he ascends on high into some realm called Parwain, some mysterious realm. It's called Parwain in the ancient Hebrew, and speaks with Methuselah, and asks Methuselah, who's already up in the hereafter, what about my son Noah? Is he one of us? Is he one of the Nephilim, perhaps? And he is assured that this son Noah is fine. He is, in fact, a savior for your generation. Don't worry about it. But interestingly, Methuselah was the son of another biblical patriarch called Enoch. Enoch was perhaps the first prophet in humanity. His name, Hanoch, means wisdom or education. And the prophecy he gave was in the name of his son, Methuselah. In Hebrew, Metushelach means when he dies, it will be sent. And sure enough, in the year that Methuselah died, the flood was sent. So all these little details emerge about the Nephilim, about this race of half-breeds, as it were. And the flood, rather than just punishing humankind for its wickedness, was sent deliberately to keep us from all being devoured.
And the Nephilim would be totally different from fallen angels, correct?
Well, the word does mean fallen ones.
Oh, it does?
It means, Nafal in the Hebrew means to fall.
Huh.
So the idea is, in fact, that the angelic hosts began to look down onto the earth and were attracted to earth women. And they left their divine state above and descended. And that's the idea of falling. They came down into the material realm. So how do we take that? Again, there's sort of an archetypal level in all of this. You can read the story as a fairy tale. You can want to take it more literally. You can also just talk about the whole idea of being attracted to the material world when our focus should be beyond. It should be up there.
Absolutely.
Like these angels who looked down, right? They became entrapped in materiality and produced horror in the end. If your focus is on the material world, you produce giantism.
Do you believe in the angelic realm, Ken? Do you think it's there? It's part of the universe, always has been?
Yeah, personally, I do. Now, in the academic realm, of course, we don't argue religion. We just say these are what the texts say, right? On the outside of academia, then we can get into our own personal views and ideas. And I, like the ancients, don't believe that we're alone in the universe. Very much not. By the same token, I'm a monotheist, so I have to be careful also not to place too much attention on other beings. The Hebrew Bible allows for angels. Michael is one of the most prominent. We're told in the Dead Sea Scrolls that there will be some kind of pairing or union between Michael and the divine Messiah. So we got an angel and the Messiah in some kind of cooperative effort who generate or emanate, perhaps is the word, the divine judge of the end of days, Melchizedek. This is in the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yes.
So we've got all manner of detail about the angels, not only in the Hebrew Bible, but in these extra texts as well. They link it all together.
And the authors of the Dead Sea Scrolls, Ken, were either great writers, storytellers, or there's a lot of fact to this. Which is it?
Well, I think both. I mean, they were clearly gifted expostulators and interpreters. But beyond that, they were a product of their particular day and time, ancient Judea. And we see in these scrolls a real coming together of ideas that we find in Judaism, in Christianity, in Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism and ever fascinating, Gnosticism as well, the Greeks, the Persians. It's like an intersection of worlds. And all of this gets reflected in these people who really lived and were actually recording the ideas of their times.